You know, we're entering into an amazing time of year, at least I hope for many of you. It has always been for me. Christmas is a time of wonder, a time of excitement, a time of anticipation. And we're entering into that as we are in the second Sunday of Advent, as you just saw a few moments ago, as we lift that candle. But a reminder of what God is doing. And in preparation for that, we're going to look at a very familiar text, but a text that sometimes we gloss over in the Christmas narrative. And that is that of Mary and her encounter with an angel of God and being told that you have been chosen. You are the one. So if you want to go ahead and look in your copy of God's Word, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45, that's what we'll be reading this morning. So I'll give you a chance to find that in your copy of God's Word. And if you do, if you're able, would you stand with me at this time as we read this together? All right. All right. Where'd it go? It says, now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent to God, by God, to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at that time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all that this season means and more. We thank you for your intervention in our lives and in our world and everything that we think we know. Father, you change it and you transform us into your image, Father. We just pray you'll bless this time in the service. Use it for your purposes and your desires. May we remember who you are and what you've done. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's the whole Christmas, as we call it, the Christmas story, and we use that term not to say anything, that it's not fictitious, it's the narrative of what happened, just speaks to us in a lot of ways. And there are segments of it that kind of I always gravitate towards, just kind of speak to me a lot. And I guess as a dad with girls, I think of what it must have been like for Mary. She was a teenager at this time. She was betrothed, which if you understand the Jewish tradition and the way they did that, that would often be a period of about 2 to 3 years often when you were betrothed to your spouse. They were arranged marriages. That might scare some teenagers today that had to know that your parents would pick your spouse, but that's the way it worked in those days, okay? And Joseph was a little older. We don't know the exact age difference. We don't know the exact age of anything, but we do know Mary was very young. And she receives this news, and if you can imagine what that's like, there she is by herself, and an angel of the Lord appears to her. And all of that, how that begins to shape, and what he tells her, I mean, how did she not just drop dead from fear in that moment? I don't know. But all the things that he shares with her begins to speak to her spirit, and begins to minister to her about what God is planning to do. And this is something that has been laid out in Scripture hundreds, if not thousands of years before. I mean, this is the plan that God has always had to change the world. And the prophets spoke about how a virgin would bear a child and all these things that would happen about the Messiah that are listed in the prophecies about the Messiah. And now it's come to fruition. I'm sure Mary had heard some of these things and knew of some of these things, and now she's being spoken to by this angel. And she's called favored one. God has found her worthy of this task. What an incredible task it is. And there's more we could talk about. I mean, this is one of those texts you could spend a very long time in, and we're going to just spend a few moments looking at what the Lord is trying to say to Mary, but more importantly, what he's trying to say to us. Mary was chosen for a purpose, and that purpose was to be the mother of the Son of God, to be the one who would nurture, who would have him as a child, would then nurture and raise him up for the task that the Father had for him. She's the one that would be that person that would just, yes, this happened. You know, I know he was the Son of God, but he was man. She had to change his diapers. You know that, all right? She had to do all those things that are part of the mundane parts of being a mother. She was there with him. She walked with him. She saw him. She saw, I'm sure, some incredible things. The scriptures don't tell us very much about Jesus' life as a child, other than his time to the temple. That's the only time we really see much about what happened. But if you can imagine what that was like, those of you that have been parents, especially those of you that are mothers, of what that was like to watch your child grow up and being told in advance what his role would be. And what an incredible burden, I believe, in a sense, she had to carry in her life. The responsibility of rearing, caring for, and nurturing the Son of God, I mean, that would be challenging, would it not? But it would also be an incredible blessing to know that you were found worthy of this incredible task. And God wanted her to understand, and this really, and my hope this morning is not to venerate Mary and make her some special anything other than a young woman who was willing to allow herself to be used by God, but to remind us that God always uses ordinary people. Have you noticed that? People that are not any different than you or I. And God chooses us and sets us apart for whatever purpose he has and uses us to do something that he desires in and through our life that is usually always far bigger than anything we can imagine. And if God told us everything he was going to do in our lives, we would probably run away as fast as possible, would we not? It would terrify us. I mean, Mary had no idea of it. Calvary was in her son's future. She didn't know all that awaited him. She couldn't understand that and see that yet. But yet she accepted that. And I love what she says here when she says, I'm your bondservant, Lord. Do with me as you will. Whatever the Father desires to accomplish, whatever the Lord wants to work and do in her life, she is willing to allow him to do that. And what a tremendous reminder and example for us today. When God calls us out and he says, you know, I've got a plan for you. I've got something I want to do with your life. And you're like, okay. But what's the first question I usually ask? Maybe you do too. I say, well, what is it? And oftentimes God is really funny about this. I don't know how it works with you, but with me, oftentimes God is like, don't worry about that. I have a purpose plan. I have something I want to do with your life. I want you to trust me and allow me to use you. Will you do that? Will you let me use your life in whatever way I desire? Will you allow me to be Lord of your life and to move you in the direction that I have to do something with your life that you might not have any idea, or even in your own lifetime, you may never have any understanding of how and what I can accomplish through you. Will you let me just take your life and use it? And Mary said what? Yes. Don't know what that means. Don't know all the ramifications of that. Have no idea, but she said yes. And I think for those of us today, when God asks us that same question, what should be our response? Yes, Lord. As a bondservant of the Lord, as your child, as whatever you want, Father, you do with me as you will, and allow your will to be accomplished in and through my life. Not worrying about anything else, not worrying about the consequences, not worrying about what others will think, not worrying about our safety, our protection, our well-being, because this whole thing, this narrative we look at, this book that we read and study here in just a little bit as we'll go to Sunday school, all of this is about, this is one story. You realize that, don't you? It's all about God. It's all about his work in our midst. It's about different things that he does in people, but it's really the star of this story are not those names that are listed in Hebrews 11. The star of this story is God Almighty. He's the one whom we worship. He's the one who's exalted. He's the one who makes a difference. He's the one who changes lives. And now he has changed Mary's life and her cousin Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth was one, as we says here in the text, one who was a little bit past childbearing years. And her and Zacharias, her husband, had never had a son, or any child for that matter. And then she's told she's going to have a child, and that her child is also special. Her child is set apart. Her child is the preparer of the way, the one who goes before us, John the Baptist, as we know him. The prophet who will make straight the roads, who will do all that God has said. The last prophet that will come before Israel and the world and will tell them the Messiah is coming and you need to get ready. And that infant, when he hears the voice of Mary, what happens? You see what it said in the text? Now, I have obviously never carried a child, ladies, right? Ladies, how many of you had gymnastics going on when you had children? Anybody? My wife said that our youngest daughter was kind of that way a little bit. So, you know, that happens. And so, evidently, John is excited. He hears this and how that all works out. And, you know, but I know the Holy Spirit's involved here, isn't he? Even in that point, at that time in history, God's at work and God wants them to know that he's in control and he's doing what he always does and to trust him. And Mary and Elizabeth have an incredible time together as they share in fellowship of the joyous news that both of them have received and how their lives have been changed, and yet really neither one of them has any idea yet about what God is doing. But God always knows what God is doing. God's purpose, God's plan, God's direction, God's focus, what God has been desiring to accomplish. This was laid out before the foundation of the world. This has always been God's plan. And this favored one, Mary, is getting to be a part of it. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me, nearly 2,000 years later, living in Frederick, Maryland, thousands of miles from where this event took place, in a part of the world that really, in a lot of ways, is almost forgotten, a small part of Palestine where a lot of people didn't know much about it. In fact, he's going to be born in a small city that's barely a city. It's just more of like a place out there. What does that have to do with me today? You see, God is still calling people out. Did you know that? God is still at work. God is still doing things. God is still encouraging people to move in the direction that he has them. He still has a purpose, plan, and direction for your life. Did you know that? You're a part of God's grand plan and scheme if you're a follower of Christ. It's not just the preacher types. It's not just the missionaries. It's not the people whose faces you see associated. But every person who is a child of God has a place and a part in God's plan. Regardless of where you are in that journey, God has a purpose and a plan for you. And what he's calling you to do is to trust him, to allow him to use your life, and to say, will you let me have your life and do with it as I will? Much like he asked Mary, he's asking you today. Will you give me your life? Jesus says, will you let me do with you whatever I will? And we will sit, and we will think, and we will ponder. And we may ask God questions. And that's okay. God's good with questions. A lot of times we think, well, if I ask God a question, he's going to get mad and he's going to zap me or something. No, I see that throughout Scripture. A lot of people ask God questions and he doesn't kill them. Have you noticed that? And you say, Lord, what are you, just trust me and I'll do this. And with Mary, it was such a beautiful thing that she was willing to respond so quickly, not knowing everything. And maybe it was the advantage of being young and a little naive. I don't know. Sometimes as we get older, we get a little more, dare I say, jaded. We get a little more questioning. We want to know more details. We have more responsibilities. We want to make sure we have everything mapped out. God, we'll make sure that every aspect of what I'm going to do, Lord, this is how you're going to do it. And God says, that's not the way I work, child. I do things my way, and you will trust me. But Lord, you will trust me. And one thing I've noticed in my brief life on this earth and my time with him is how every time I question, every time I try to, you know, turn the conversation the other way, maybe I'm the only one that does that with God. The rest of you probably just, when God says, do it, you just do it, right? Is that the way everybody else is? No one's responding, Dave, so I'm guessing that's the way everybody is. That's great. I'm not that way. I'm one of those people that have to kind of know a little bit, and I ask probably God too. I'm sure when he starts it with me, I'm sure he's ready. He always is. He knows. You know, and if I could see him roll his eyes, he probably does a time or two at me because I deserve it. But we ask those questions. God, what's this mean? Child, trust me. Let me work through you. Let me use your life in the way that I desire. And understand this, I will accomplish my will and my purposes through you in the way that I want if you let me. Because the other side of that is if I don't let him, he'll still get his will accomplished. Just not in the way where I'm used for that purpose. And neither are you. And I like, you know, it's not the safest place to be in the center of God's will. That's a myth. And I don't know who ever said that. I know they meant well, but it's not true. But it may be the best place to be. Because God's the one in control. God's the one directing your life. God's the one in charge. It doesn't mean it's safe. It doesn't mean it's secure. It doesn't mean it's wonderful and happy-go-lucky. But what it does mean is that God is directing your path and you are in the center of his will and you are doing what God wants. And God is the one that is honored, exalted, glorified. And your obedience is a testimony to that when you allow him to use you. And Mary was like that in these moments. She allowed God to use her in a way that had to be a little scary. I mean, Mary had never had a child before. She had never had relations with another man, it tells us. I mean, she's a virgin. She's a young woman. She has never experienced this, and yet she's going to experience all of those things that come with it, with birth and carrying a child, all of that. And you ladies know about this far better than we men do. We watch it. You know it. You've lived it. All that, the things that come with that. And then she's going to have that incredible responsibility and privilege of being the woman who raises up the little boy who eventually becomes a man who is your and my Savior. So what about you? What is God telling you today? What has God been moving you? What things in your life has God been trying to point you in a specific purpose and direction? Are there things in your life, there circumstances, there's people God's bringing your way? Are there things going on that God's trying to tell you? He's trying to say, I've got a purpose and plan. I want you to do this. I've got somewhere I want you to go. I've got some people I want you to talk to, or whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, I am not privileged to that knowledge, nor do I want to be. But I know the Holy Spirit is always working in and through the lives of God's children. He's always moving us in a direction for God's purposes and glory. But a lot of times for me and for some of us, we like, well, God, that's nice, but I've got other things to do. You don't understand. And what if Mary had said that to God? Said, this is a great idea, God, but you know, I'm getting ready to get married. You know, Joseph and I want to have a life of our own. We have a family of our own. We have all these things planned for ourselves. You know, we're excited. You know, we've been planning this for years. We're ready to do this. We're excited. And this kind of puts a little crimp in our plans. Wouldn't you agree? When the bride is pregnant before the wedding, that's a problem. But when the bride is pregnant before the wedding and the groom has no idea how that happened, that's a bigger problem. Would you agree? And yet that is what they faced. You know, we know that and we think about it, but do we ever really think about it? And in a community like that, a community that was very strict, very traditional, had a lot of rules. What was that like for a teenage girl like Mary to walk and live? I mean, can you imagine the whispers? Can you imagine what people said about her? Oh, there goes Mary, yeah. You know what she told Joseph, don't you? Yeah, I heard that story. That's a pretty good story. You know she's crazy, right? I mean, you can imagine the things that were said about her. And yet, she knew what had happened. She is the one that the angel of God, Gabriel, okay, we're not talking one of just the little angels. Gabriel is an archangel. There are only two archangels in Scripture, by the way, Gabriel and Michael. Lucifer was not an archangel. He was just an angel. But these two, and they're very significant, but he is the messenger of God. He is often sent by God when there's a specific message, and he's sent to Mary, and he speaks to her. Now, of course, no one else is around. She said, well, you know, maybe she just had a, you know, too much for lunch, you know, the wrong kind of, I don't know, unleavened bread or whatever. I don't know what they ate that much in that day. I don't know anything about the Jewish diet. Maybe the wrong herbs. That's what people would say. No, she had an encounter with an angel, the angel of God. The messenger of God had come and told her, you are going to have a child. And then the story begins to unfold. But after she's told all these things and she hears all these things, I can't imagine what went through her head, but you wonder what she pondered and what it was like for her. She tried to imagine, of all the young women on planet Earth, or for that matter, of all the young women in Palestine, all the Jewish young women that were out there, why of all those women did God choose her? And maybe sometimes in your life, you have things that are going on and you wonder, God, why is this happening? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Why, God? Why? Perhaps the creator of the universe has something in store for you, is wanting to do something in and through your life that you may not know, and it may not even be now, it may not even be in these moments. He may be preparing you in that moment for what's going to happen 25, 30, 40 years later. You have no idea. Neither do I. And all the while, he's at work and just asking you, like Mary, to trust him. I know what I'm doing. Let me do what I'm doing, and you will be the one who benefits. But in Mary's case, she wasn't the only one that's going to benefit from this. Would you agree? You and I are in this room today because of what God did through Mary. And how that event, that encounter, all that was planned out, all that that took place is going to transform and change the world as we know it. All because God has a plan. And God set someone apart. And God chose that woman for a purpose. God has also chosen you for a purpose. So I hope you hear that part of the message. It's great to examine the Christmas story again and again. It's great to look at the text. It's good to read them and to be reminded of what God is doing. But what is also important, remember that we are a part of that story as well. That's where the story, in an earthly sense, kind of begins, although it had been going on long before that. It starts back in Genesis, by the way, and kind of goes through all the way to the end. And you and I are a part of that story. You and I are set apart by God for some amazing purposes that we sometimes, oftentimes, have no idea. And so the favored one in this text is Mary. But as God uses you, you too are favored. You are chosen for a purpose. And what you and I have to do, and this is the hard part for us, is to listen to God and let God tell us what he wants us to do. And let God use our lives in whatever way he deems best. Even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's frustrating, even when other people mock us. And I'm sure that Mary went through every one of those things I just said, and to the nth degree, if you can imagine, as an unwed mother in ancient Palestine. And yet, have you taken a look at the room today? What do you see? Christmas decorations, right? You see the colors. You see the nativity scene. We're not going to get into whether it's accurate or not. That's not the point. We're not getting there. But what we know what this means, right? This is a reminder of what happened that day, isn't it? How that night changed the world, how everything about it changed, and how God intervened in our history, in our existence. The creator of the universe chose to step into us, to our presence. He came in and he just intervened by sending an infant to change the world. And now he's asking you and I, hey, got a plan for you. I have something I want you to do. Will you? Well, what am I doing, God? That's not what I ask you, he says. Will you trust me and will you do what I say? No matter what. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the example we have in Scripture of Mary and her unquestioned obedience to your will and purposes. And I know in my life, a lot of times I have a lot of questions. And I always want the answers to happen the way I want them to. But Lord, I know that you are bigger than my questions and my answers and my hopes. And I pray, Father, if there's one here today that maybe the story is beginning to make sense to them, they're beginning to see through the work of the Holy Spirit in their life that you are who you say you are, that today would be the day they would respond to you. Because, Father, your plans and purposes and for our lives are so much beyond anything we can fully grasp. And yet, as we surrender our lives to you, you are able to do things in us and through us that will not only have an impact in our families, in our homes, in our community, but may very well have an impact on the other side of the globe in the lives of people that we will never meet. Father, thank you for allowing us to be used for your purposes, and bless this time in whatever way you want to use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.